Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And I just welcome you to either the video or the podcast. But in any case, let me just say that our focus in the last two messages have been on the verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which states, Jesus actually says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. I'm sure you're familiar with that. The first part of the verse is about seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom of God has everything to do with seeking the King. And the King, of course, is King Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's Revelation 17, 14. The kingdom is that spiritual kingdom on earth as well as in heaven. Matthew 6:10 says, in the Lord's Prayer, says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we need to learn how to seek his face. That, by that expression, seeking his face, that means having a relationship with Jesus. And but instead, most of us are seeking his hand. That means we're looking for something from him. We're seeking his provision. Let me say this, and I want this to really sink into your spirit. If you have the relationship with the King, you'll have access to all of the provisions of the King. The second part of the verse is about seeking his righteousness, which is also a key ingredient in our relationship with Jesus. Righteousness is simply doing what is right in God's eyes. As human beings, we have a tremendous capacity to convince ourselves that what we want is what the Lord wants. Now, that isn't always true. You know that. See, we can easily rationalize and justify our behavior and wind up doing and saying things that are contrary to what Jesus calls us to. Listen, the scriptures are filled with God's plans, purposes, and pursuits for us. But we often insist on doing what is right in our own eyes. The third part of the verse contains a promise. Matthew 6:33. All these things shall be added to you. Jesus is speaking of all of our earthly needs, everything we need for life and godliness. However, this promise is conditional on doing first things first, the first two things. Seek King Jesus first, seeking the righteousness of God. Keep in mind that while the promise is conditional, his love is unconditional. Hallelujah. Let me just take a moment here to remind you that if you're listening to this and not viewing it, then all the notes, the transcripts are available on my website if you'd like to download your own copy of all of the message itself. Also want to remind you that we've started something new in the last couple weeks called Sermon Helps. These are simply starters, if you will, to help you with putting together a message for either your church or for your Bible study or for your personal growth. But in any case, they're all available on my website and they're all available for download using Microsoft Word. In any case, let me just say this, that the address or the website, you just see it. If you're looking on the video, you can see it below, but if not, it's PastorVicsNuggets.com. Let me say that again, PastorVicsNuggets.com, or simply PastorVic.com. Amen. So as born-again believers, Jesus speaks to us, he teaches us, and he guides us through the Holy Spirit. Remember, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He actually lives in you, Corinthians 6:19. The Holy Spirit is not a thing or an it. He is the third person of the triune God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Your spirit has been made alive and therefore is able to communicate with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And see, that's the key to relationship, communication. Communication is defined as an exchange of information, which means it's a dialogue and not a monologue. A monologue simply means it's a one-way conversation. But God wants to have dialogue with us. He wants us to have a two-way interaction. Now, as you read the Bible from the Old Testament into the New Testament, what you'll see is that God is intentional and he's proactive. What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord always makes the first move. Now, how can I prove that? Well, proof number one, he made the first move in sending Jesus for us, for our sins, for our salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever would believe in him should not perish, but have what? That's right, everlasting life. The second proof is that God first drew us to himself. He initiated. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then Jesus says, and I will raise him up on the last day. The third proof is putting his Holy Spirit in us. He initiated that. We didn't initiate that. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, if the Lord is being proactive, then we who are made in his image need to be proactive too. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, the Lord is beseeching us to seek him. For example, a familiar scripture, I'm sure, but the Jeremiah 19:11. But listen carefully to what it says. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Isn't that encouraging? The Lord has a plan and purpose for you, and that's clear from verse 11. It's a good plan. Verse 12 tells us that if we seek him, he hears us. That's a promise. And finally, in verse 13 is another promise that we will find him. That's a positive statement. We will find him if we seek him with all of our hearts. So seeking means to be intentional or proactive, taking steps to move forward in our relationship with God. We're going to be taking a look now at Matthew chapter 7, because I think when we look at Matthew chapter 7 as a whole, we'll see what Jesus is talking about in terms of seeking him. We seek the Father through Jesus. We seek Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So Matthew 7 gives a clear picture of what the Lord expects from us as evidence that we are seeking him. Keep in mind that the following, that when you look at the Jews in Jesus' day, they thought that simply by virtue of the promise made to Abraham and the fact that they were descendants of Abraham, that they would inherit the promise. However, the Lord made it clear to the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament that their relationship was based upon the spirit of the law, simply by association alone. In other words, the Lord is looking at motivation when we are fulfilling the law. Now, of course, the wonderful news is that we don't have to fulfill the law. Because as Christians, we are not under the law, but we are under grace. We are under a new covenant. That's what the New Testament is all about. It's about a new covenant. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that idea of grace is receiving something that's been offered to you, that's something that you don't deserve and something that you cannot earn. That's how great the New Testament is. That's how great the New Covenant is. Because in the New Covenant, our Father in heaven has given us Jesus to deliver us from our sins. Let's take a look now at some of the verses. Verses 1 through 5 has to do with judging others. These verses tell us that we're not to judge another. Jesus used the illustration of having a plank or a board in your eye while trying to remove a speck of sawdust from someone else's eye. The point being, you need to remove your own faults and sins before pointing out or condemning another's. When you judge condemnation upon someone else, you take the place of God. And I'm telling you that that is a very dangerous position to take. Do not judge. Then in verse 6, it talks about witnessing. And it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. The terms dogs and swine have to do with people who are basically heathens or certainly non-believers, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, what my understanding of this scripture is that not everyone is ready to receive the gospel when you're ready to share it. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. You see, we're called to pick the fruit when it's ripe. In other words, to share the good news with those whom the Lord has prepared to hear the gospel of Christ. Now you might say, well, how do I know if they're ready? How do I know that this is a person I'm supposed to witness or share with? That's the job of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. He will show you when and to whom you should evangelize or witness. That's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit and relying on the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Then verses 7 through 12 talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. It deals with really the heart of the entire chapter. Asking and seeking and knocking are all metaphors of pursuing the Lord. Let me read to you the verses. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, you would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you would give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Sometimes, in our humanness, we tend to think that, this is a promise of God that whatever we ask for, whatever we seek, whatever we're knocking for, that we're going to receive that. Well, I think Luke chapter 11 tells us what it is that we're supposed to be seeking, asking, and knocking for. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, this is Luke chapter 11, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, Jesus was talking about receiving the Holy Spirit by asking, seeking, and knocking. Remember, if you have him, you have everything. The Holy Spirit is the person that we communicate with and through. I encourage you to read Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Getting back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. What Jesus is saying here is that the way to find the abundant life, which is spoken of in John 10:10, is to pursue the Lord. That is to actively, intentionally find the time, make the effort of working on your relationship with him. And remember, relationship involves communication. Then verse 15 and 20, and you shall know them by their fruit. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. And this is simply a caution to every believer. Be careful of who you follow on earth. Remember Matthew 15, verse 14, and what it says about the blind leading the blind. We should always seek confirmation in the Bible. I've heard many fantastic things. I've heard many wonderful things being preached and being taught. But the question is, does it line up with what the Bible says? And only you can do that for yourself. Then we move on to verses 21 through 23. And I think this is a cautionary portion of the scriptures that we need to be very careful of. And we need to make sure we understand. Beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That's key. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, have done many wonders in your name?' And then I," meaning Jesus "will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The most tragic words one can ever hear from Jesus is, "I never knew you." You see, the Lord knows who belongs to him, John 10:14. As born-again believers in Christ, we never have to worry about hearing those tragic words. If we are asking, seeking, and knocking, we will hear these words from Jesus instead: "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then we move on to verses 24 through 26. It usually has a title. It's usually called "Building on the Rock." And I know that Jesus Christ is the rock. There is no other foundation other than Jesus Christ himself. But this is not what we're talking about in this set of scriptures. So listen carefully. The following verses makes it clear what asking, seeking, and knocking means. Verse 24. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," that's key, "and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built a house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Building on the rock means that you are a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Now, I know that doing the word is not always easy. That's the meaning of the narrow gate in verses 13 and 14. Knowing what the Lord expects of you means having discernment and that you are taking the time to confirm that you are taught, especially by the teachings of man, by checking it against the word of God. Verses 15 and 20. Remember, it's only the truth that will set you free. And so verses 28 and 29 represent the conclusion. "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes." You see, Jesus taught with authority because he taught the truth. Remember John 14:6. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Seeking the kingdom and his righteousness in order to receive the blessings of God is not simply about obedience, but it's more importantly knowing the one whom you obey. That's Jesus. It's all about developing a spiritual relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit who lives in you. We need to learn to seek his face, relationship, instead of always seeking his hand, which is provision. Because remember, if you have the relationship with the King, then you have access to all the provisions of the King. Now, I hope this message is a blessing to you, that you would seek your personal relationship with him, and by acknowledging the Holy Spirit who lives in you, by asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there would be a release of the anointing in your life and the provisions of God would be made available to you. And so until the next time, look forward to seeing you. God bless you.